Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Revolution Radio. I hope you can hear me. Can you hear me? If you can't hear me, I guess you can't. Helen.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Okay. There we go. Can you hear me?
I can.
You can. Okay. Very good. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Revolution Radio. I'm in a bit of an interesting situation. I'm sitting in a cafe in Kanab, Utah. It's beautiful out here. It's warm. But I'm taking up space at to try to keep a little bit quiet this evening. Also, I think I'm going to end the show about 8 o'clock just because the cafe closes at 8 and I will need to be on my way. But welcome, everyone. We have a very exciting evening this evening. I'd like to welcome our guest, Helen Tansey of the Tea Room. Welcome, Helen.
Thank you.
And tonight, we'd like to give an update on what happened at the Manning trial and give Helen a chance to really lay out a framework she sees. She's going to be doing a series of articles, I think, on what she's learned and so forth. And then if we have time, I just put up a link in the chat about an article about the enemy within the Patriot movement that I'd like to discuss. But without any further ado, Helen, good evening. Thank you for coming at such short notice. And let us know what you'd like to talk about this evening.
Actually, I'd love to talk about that article that J.D. Williams did with regards to the Patriot movement. And I wouldn't use the word enemies within, but I would certainly use the word distractors, dismissers, and diminishers. And I've got a lot of reasons for that. if you want me to go into that, I'm happy to do that. But a real quick update on Pastor Manning's trial, and this is just what I've learned off the Internet, is guilty verdicts were handed down, and now the next step is for the pastor and his team to identify a court of law or a judge or a prosecutor that will take the complaint and move it forward into the appropriate forum. So we'll see if they're successful on that. Other than that, don't have a whole lot to report. I know that Steve Cooper, as well as the American grand jury, were there and certainly posted photos and various videos and so on. So folks may want to go to those two various blog sites, Conservative Monster and the American Grand Jury, to be able to get a full update.
Thank you. I saw some videos of supporters out or supporters of Obama outside the church. And I saw some wonderful photographs of the march. So tell me, do you know what government officials showed up?
As far as I know, just from what I read and what I gleaned, no government officials showed up. However, George Stephanopoulos apparently sent a letter, and that was entered into evidence. I guess George attended Columbia University around the same time, and the question was put to George whether or not he ever knew or attended any of the classes with Barack Obama, and George Stephanopoulos wrote in the letter, "No, I did not." He was very brief, apparently, because Steve Cooper didn't really go into all that. So it was just real brief, but no individuals from, like, Condoleezza Rice. Dr. Alan Keyes sent a letter apologizing for not being able to attend. Let me see, who else do I recall? Dr. Alan Keyes. Condoleezza, I'm trying to remember, Cornel West, Corn, some of those folks that were on, were actually teaching both at Union Theological as well as Columbia. They were also subpoenaed during the years that Barack Obama attended or alleged to attend Columbia University, and neither of those gentlemen appeared. They were actually two of the pioneers who were instructing students, theological students in black theology. Neither one of those individuals appeared, as well as the president of Columbia. He did not appear. Nor did any of these individuals apparently submit any kind of letter such like George Stephanopoulos or Dr. Arlene Keyes did.
Well, you know, what's interesting to me about the next step in this, the finding the right judge at the right venue, you know, we had been talking about, I think a few weeks ago, about USA Inc., the corporation USA, and the only court that actually is sufficient to challenge the U.S., United States as a corporation is actually the D.C. Superior Court. And I'm wondering if that might be the venue that Reverend Manning could find as an appropriate way, because you know they're going to shut everything down, which leaves, you know, really our ability guarantee to us of making a citizen's arrest. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens next. Do you see what I'm saying about the Superior Court? And
I do. And Judge Lambert, what I do know about Judge Lambert is this. The American grand jury, I had the privilege of speaking to several individuals that were involved with American grand jury early on in their birth. And one of the individuals is a gentleman by the name of Mr. Ellis. And he and I had several conversations. And he apparently traveled to Washington, D.C., and filed the presentments from the American grand jury in the Superior Court. Within 3 days, an order was issued stating that the court was not the proper venue, and that the reason for that is the court receives indictment and is not permitted to receive what is known as presentments. And the presentments are those that the citizens put forward out of their grand jury process. And so apparently the presentment that the American grand jury presented was denied. I am aware of a second presentment they tried to bring to his court, and that presentment, too, was denied.
Well, as
I know, on the same ground. So I'm not convinced that Judge Lambert in the Superior Court is the correct venue. What I did read is that Pastor Manning is going to bring the ruling to the attention of Attorney General Eric Holder. But other than that, I have no idea what his plans are going to be.
This is not a presentment. This is actually an indictment. So this will be very interesting. And actually, just for our listeners, there I wrote a post while ago, and I know people have been on it, and Helen, you've been on it in the tea room, which, by the way, what a great blog that is. Thank you so much for putting that up and doing the research and making it a very interesting place to be. The USA Incorporation, the Act of 1871, apparently was an act to form a government for the District of Columbia. And there is significant concern that, in fact, it turned the organic United States Constitution into a corporation. And there are people who are actually suing the corporation on behalf of Americans, because if the United States is a corporation, it doesn't have sovereign immunity like it says it does. And so they would be liable for, you know, the theft and so forth. But it raises an interesting question of all these threads that are coming together. And Manning trial plus so many other things have come out on this eligibility issue. Linda Lingle, what a joke. So forth. So anyway... you had mentioned to me earlier today that you were going to be writing, a long article about some things that you've been learning about, and I want to give you an opportunity to lay that out for us and where you think you're going with it, and what ideas you have.
Certainly. First, I want to thank you for the opportunity. Because it's so important, and let me tell you why what I'm doing is so important. There are so many issues that are floating around out there, as you identified, but several of them have to do with our military men and women. And when I say I'm a patriot, I mean I'm a patriot. I define my patriotism based on the Constitution and based on the laws of the land, and on my military men and women. I have always found our military men and women to be the greatest treasure this country has ever received. And we treat them, at least today, as, I don't even want to use the word stepchildren, but something to that effect. For these men and women to be doing 3, 4, 5, 6 tours in Iraq and Afghanistan while we Americans sit in our homes, watch our American idols, give all the excuses in the world as to why we cannot learn and be engaged is an extraordinarily frustrating thing for me. I never joined the service. I wanted to, but at my age, when I was a young buck and wanted to go into the Air Force, I wanted to be an airplane pilot, I could not go in and serve in that capacity because women were not allowed to serve in that capacity. So I have always, I come from a strong family of military individuals that were in the theater, the Pacific Theater, as well as stateside during World War II, and all the way back to the Irish American or Irish War when the Queen took over the lands there in Ireland. And so it's just in my blood, and there are so many important things that are occurring, but because of what I call false patriots, individuals that have another agenda. And there's nothing wrong with having another agenda as long as you're upfront about it. There's nothing wrong with saying I'm a patriot, but I'm also doing this. But there are individuals out there that I believe are kind of leading or stringing along their readers and their posters without a whole lot of information about what their game plan is. And that's an extraordinarily frustrating thing to me because these individuals who take the time to post and to blog and to share whatever their issues are, their challenges are, their information, whatever it might be, that time is a valuable commodity, and that shouldn't be taken for granted, and it shouldn't be abused. And so, therefore, I have some real passion with regards to this. The Tea Room, for example, does not accept any kind of money. We run Google Ads, and I think I have made a check last month for 57 cents. We're not about money. We're not about, you know, I don't do the 16 hours a day that I do on my blog to do anything other than my passion, and that is to educate and to inform. That is what you do, Dr. Kate, is you educate and inform. That is what Citizen Wells does. That is what ResistNet does. That is what so many other bloggers out in the blogosphere do. But there's a handful that have another agenda, and it's about money. And that is, if there's nothing else I've learned in the last 2 weeks of placing several phone calls to total strangers and asking extraordinarily intimate questions, and these brave souls telling me exactly what has occurred to them and or what their experience has been with certain patriotic groups that state they're patriotic, yet don't show where their money is going, don't communicate how it's being spent, and so on, back to their donor. And, you know, I come from the nonprofit world, and my nonprofit experience teaches me that if you're going to accept money for anything you are doing, you have got to be transparent about that. You've got to be honest, upfront, explain how much you raised, explain how it was spent, explain where the residual is going to go if there is some, or explain how funds need to be made up because we didn't meet our goals. I spent 26 years working that way, so I don't know any other way, and I don't know how to excuse those that are not being totally honest with their members and their donors by communicating to them, this is our balance sheet. This is money that's come in. This is how we spent it, and this is where it's going.
Now,
so
let me just interrupt you right there, because if I may, excuse me, the Continental Congress went through just about everything that our country is going through. We had a usurpation, we had trouble from within, and then really what I would call a bunch of false patriots or sunshine patriots waving the flag of liberty, but sitting there marching, you know, watching the gobble marching in. And so I think this is a good shift to this article of J.B. Williams, because it is called Enemies with Patriot Movement, and you put your finger right on it. It's money. In part, it's notoriety, in part, it's control, but a big part of it is money. So, I mean, would you agree or want to expound on that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Let's take a look. Let's go back to a year and a half ago when Barack Obama swore on January 20th that he was going to uphold the Constitution, blah, 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 and he was sworn in as president. Shortly thereafter, probably within 6 months, all these lawsuits were filed, Orly Tayetz, Leo Donofrio, Steve Pigeon, Phil Berg, all of these attorneys jumped on it right away. And you know, when you look at each one of the cases, there were major flaws with each case. So therefore, if you understood the law, or if you listened to somebody that wasn't blowing smoke up people's ass, excuse my French, you would have been able to learn that these cases weren't going anywhere. Number one, they were civil. What has occurred is criminal. It is not a civil issue. It is a criminal issue. So that's number one. But number two, these individuals went out and they raised their dollars. They pretended they were going into the – well, they went into their courtrooms and they fought and they pissed off the judge. They did whatever to show that, you know, I'm on your side. Well, golly gee, where are they today? Nowhere. No further than they were a year and a half ago. No further. Yet they've soaked the Patriot movement of first hope and gave them false hope, even though they knew their case was flawed, and they soaked them of that hope, and then they soaked them of their dollar. And these patriots don't even know it. And that's what, it's kind of like people keep, these same patriots keep saying to other people, wake up, wake up. And I'm like, you wake up. You know, you understand and do your role of learning how these suits were never going to go anywhere. And then you look at somebody like our friend JBJD. This woman, you know, it's not like JBJD is the easiest person to get along with. She's not. And I don't care what she says to defend herself. But this woman has done everything she's done for free. She may have made $500, $600 in 2 years. And she is a legal expert. This woman knows her shit. And she tells everybody these cases aren't going anywhere. Why are you putting your resource here? And it's because there are individuals on these blog sites that are being paid to infiltrate these blog sites and to dismiss. Look what happened to Phil over at The Right Side of Life. This guy was just trying to write articles that were pertinent to what was happening in the day-to-day, and a poster might have posted two or three comments related to the post, but the rest of it was crap. Well, the same thing has just recently happened at Citizen Well's blog site. It's the same MO, and these guys think they're fooling people. And they're not. You do not. When you're a blogger and you take the time and you are putting your heart and soul and your resource into formulating a or writing a post, the most insulting thing another blogger can do is to distract everybody from the topic and not stay on topic. Well, that happens again and again and again, and it's the same trolls. You can go to Phil's site, see who they were. You can go to Citizen Well's site, see who they were. You can go to, I think it's ResistNet, you can see who they were. And so you begin to see this pattern. And who's paying them? I do not know. I have not made that connection, but if any of those people are listening, I am hunting you down. I am going to find out where you're getting your paycheck from. And
yeah,
so you just don't do that. It's the it's the highest insult you can give to a blogger. Now, sure, after 50 posts and you want to talk about something that's related to help that topic grow and mature, sure, add that information. But these people, they're talking about stuff that is so off the wall and just stuff that they may believe in, but nobody else is posting about it, especially the host that is hosting the blog site. So you've got those folks that are the enemies within, and then you have these guys that are wanting to make money, like you said, capitalize on the patriotic movement. And you can start with the Tea Parties. You can start right at the top with Tom, what is the fellow's name at the Tea Party? Oh, gosh. His name's not coming to me. But he's the fellow that spoke at the 9/12 movement, he and his wife. What's his name?
Dick Armey.
Yeah. Start with Dick. Come on. When the Tea Party first put that 9/12 project together, what they filed a permit, and they said, the park police said, how many people are going to show up? They said, I think maybe 5,000. They had no structure. As you recall, Dr. Kate, Dane Truth was trying to put some organization around it. Others were trying to put organization around it because we didn't want to see them fail. I was on conference calls with you. I was on conference calls with Pete and other individuals because we didn't want to see these guys fail. Well, Dick Armey steps in. He does his work, but in the meantime, he takes over this extraordinarily positive, absolute no affiliation whatsoever to any party, independent, constitutional, libertarian, Republican, Democrat, all people, just people. And he's usurped it. He, Sarah
Palin,
they've all taken it over.
That's right.
And
they
think it's fine.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, they think that's perfectly okay.
That's right.
Now,
let me.
Go. And
right.
they're crazy.
Let me read this piece from JB because it works perfectly with what you're saying. And this is the profiteer faction. There are three factions that JB talks about that are destroying the patriot movement. And one of these factions is both what you were talking about, the RNC front organization, but this profiteer faction. Let me read this. American capitalists are nothing if not enterprising, but profiteering on the backs of American patriots who in many cases are cutting on groceries just to donate money to saving their nation is dead wrong. In fact, it is a deplorable act of profiteering, not patriotism. Back in January, when an alleged, quote, nonprofit Tea Party convention turned out to be a private profit venture of Nashville lawyer Judson Phillips, the lawsuit started flying, as did rumors of unpaid bills, defaulted loans, hidden profit agendas, and exploitation of patriots. After almost every contributing organization pulled out of the convention only days before it was to kick off, including two love conservative legislators originally scheduled to speak, Fox News and RNC stepped in behind Tea Party darling Sarah Palin to prop up the convention before the entire event blew sky high, leaving 600 Tea Party Nation ticket holders out in the cold. So, Anxious to catch the national inclusion of the movement on tape, the national and international press showed up in force, reducing real movement of millions across the nation to a measly 600 Tea Party Nation partners, as if 600 Tea Party Nation members somehow represented millions across the country. 6 months later, with the newly formed PAC in place, Phillips and partner Mark Skoda from Memphis aimed to ring the cash register again, this time in Las Vegas, Nevada. Once again, huge sums are being committed to talent capable of selling tickets. All of it must be coming from folks who can hardly afford to donate it. But this is not the only profiteering effort underway within the movement. Celebrities and household names are going it. But when you search for tangible strategies with tangible results after all the money is raised and spent, you find only a few examples of success in defeating rhino incumbents, but no sign of an ability to leaders ready to take on Obamianism. So there you go, just a reinforcement of what you just said. Could you expound on that a little bit too?
Certainly. I have spent the last 3 weeks talking to some of the finest men you could ever find on this planet. Big hearts, extraordinarily trusting, and military. And these are men that absolutely serve their country with good faith and with love. And individuals are infiltrating those gentlemen's work and trying to make money on it. These men are doing the work they're doing for free. That there's one gentleman, his name is Commander Walt Fitzpatrick, and his partner, Tim Harrington, Sergeant Tim Harrington. These two gentlemen worked their butts off for nearly 20 years, but at least for the last 10 years, to expose the Pendleton Eight, which you may recall are the eight young men, not even, I don't think any of them are over 30 years old, Dr. Kate. And they were in Hamdiya. And a gentleman, an Iraqi gentleman, was killed, and these eight men went to court-martial, and they were all locked up. I believe all of them. I think there was one that was not, but I believe all eight were locked up. Anywho, these men have spent the last 7 years trying to expose the utter, and I mean utter, lack of evidence that the service had against them, the courts had against them. And what does the American grand jury, Bob Campbell, do? He goes in and he tries to infiltrate it so that he can expose it to his American grand jury so he can make money on it. He was called out by the commander in a very, very telling email that I have received that basically states, back off. Otherwise, I am coming after you. This is the kind of stuff. And don't get me wrong. The American grand jury started out as a fully 100% volunteer, no funding organization. That is who they were. Yet, within 3 to 4 months, or 6 months after they started, all of a sudden PayPal accounts showed up on the blog site. All of a sudden, Bob Campbell was asking people to donate money. And when the whole Pendleton 8 issue blew up in Bob's face, he was also trying to figure out how to get the documentary that was produced by Mr. Sabrowski and Sergeant Harrington on the Pendleton 8 individuals. He was trying to figure out how to get his hands on that so he could market it on his website and make money. I find that deplorable. I find that disgusting. Pendleton 8 can put their video on my blog site and your blog site for free, because we are patriots. This isn't about money for us. This is about saving our country.
Well, this is the most interesting thing, because I believe that, and maybe it's too hopeful, but I do believe people are beginning to see this, that it's so transparent with the people on money. But there's also another faction, or two other factions, that I think are quite disturbing. And one is the My Way or the Highway faction. And, you know, with all respect to, you know, all the attorneys working on these cases, for example, if one attorney says the only issue is a birth certificate, and the other people say, look, no, it's you know, this is what natural-born citizenship is really about. It has diffused the issue to have some attorneys go that way and basically refuse to acknowledge anybody else's cases. So there again, there's millions of dollars that have gone that way, and the My Way or the Highway faction, I think, has been very difficult. So this is, according to JB, the most dangerous enemy of the Tea Party movement. They're not constitutional conservatives. In most cases, they're hardcore libertarian types, Paulistonians, Ron Paul fanatics, and your general run-of-the-mill anti-establishment, nobody good enough for us folks. So for the record, libertarians and conservatives have absolutely nothing in common. So why are they both trying to control the GOP? The alleged common thread between them is a proclaimed desire for increased individual liberty and fiscal responsibility. However, unlike conservatives, libertarians make no connection between a society run wild and the very expensive government subsidy remedy all of the natural social ills that always follow in a society run wild. And then the third faction, which we've been talking about too, so we talked about really the entrepreneurs who want to leverage liberty for dollars and for profit, the My Way or the Highway faction. And, of course, everyone knows about the rhinos and the profiteering faction. But, you know, the agenda of these organizations is to harness the power and money that has stopped flowing into the RNC over the past few election cycles and put it back into, behind the candidates of their choosing. By doing this, they're not empowering the people. They're becoming power brokers again. And here are good examples. John McCain, Carly Fiorina, other people, some of the Tea Party candidates have actually endorsed Democrats and given them that. So, you know, there's this really nasty stuff going on. Could you comment about those two other factions, if you might, Helen?
Sure. I can't really speak to the libertarian because I've never studied libertarian. They've always kind of eluded me. I've just not gone there. But the conservative faction, I have studied. I've studied it for the last 20 years because you'll recall the whole Ronald Reagan era and the conservative coming out, especially the more Christian conservative coming out and supporting him. And so I became extremely involved, or not extremely involved, but extremely attentive to that faction, and actually ran a couple of campaigns in Jerry Falwell's district as a Democrat. And I had conservative Democrats running and learned a great deal about that whole conservative right part of the Republican Party and, you know, the threat. And the intimidation that these individuals expressed to me was way beyond anything I've ever been introduced to or ever heard of. So I do believe, without question, that the Tea Party movement, the movement I was a part of, the movement I as a Democrat supported 100%, a former Democrat, 100%, because I'm a no-party gal at this point. And so I'm supporting a group that can put together a platform and then force the candidates to either support that platform or oppose that platform. but that platform is the Tea Party platform. Well, they never got that far because the Republican conservatives took it over, and they usurped it, and therefore there is no platform. Nobody knows what a Tea Party candidate stands for, should stand for. We don't know what the A, B, C, D, E is because we never got there. They made sure the Republicans, such as Andy Breitbart, big government, big journalism, such as Glenn Beck, such as Murdoch, such as several others, they made sure that we never were able to mature to that stage. And it was deliberate. It was totally deliberate. And so you've got all these patriotic movements at this point on the local level, here in Virginia, at least Richmond, I can speak to specifically, is, you know, our Tea Party chairperson decided to put together a federation. And this federation she wants to be in charge of and she wants to, you know, make a living at. And hopefully, you know, I mean, I've read certain things where she's hoping she can get to be so big that she can become a pundit on Fox, as somebody said. And I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know if that's her goal. But, you know, somehow or another, the juice has gotten to people's brains, and it's harming them. And the very soul, the very heart of the Tea Party movement was the innocent passion, was the individual that said, you know, something's really wrong, but I don't know what it is, and I want to learn, so teach me. You know?
And, you know, it's right, and it's not too late, because one of the advantages of not doing the traditional way of organizing is that they can't, you know, aside from those people who are right up front with it and trying to be the leaders, they can't isolate and destroy the movement, because we all are leaders, all of us.
That's right.
And I really think that, you know, I really believe in lots of Einstein theories, but one of them is that you cannot fix the problem using the same methods got you there. And the whole party politics BS has been not only a diversion, but a method by which we have basically eviscerated ourselves and our own power. Go ahead.
The two-party system, if I may, Dr. Kate, the two-party system, it's a farce. What happens in Washington, D.C.,
you know, I would call it a force, Ashley. I know what you're saying, but, you know, I would be not willing to dismiss all of those people who think they are Tea Party activists and who are united around that, but are not necessarily
totally agree with that.
Part
if
of
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not on that.
Okay,
that same page. So I thank you for that. But what I'm saying to you is that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, one of the gals on my blog has termed it as two heads, same snake. And basically, what happens in Washington when there's not an election is, if you really watch them, it's theater. It's not lawmaking. It's not rulemaking. It's theater. Because, you know, the R's come out and they go, oh, we're not going to pass that bill. And the Dems come out and say, oh, yes, you are. And you can watch the game go back and forth, and eventually they get what they want, whoever's the majority. Because there's always going to be that Republican or that Democrat, Olympia Snow on the Republican side in the Senate, and that Democrat, gosh, who knows who that Democrat could be, who's in a safe district, and so therefore they'll vote for that really bad bill. That we've been told by that minority party, and so it's just it's theater, it's comedy, it's not even a joke, and it's an embarrassment.
Well,
and,
yes, it
you know,
is.
How men and women go and do that job every day. I was thinking about that today with regards to Senator Warner. I know Senator Warner and know him very well, and I've always just held him in such high regard. And What? You know, it's like, come on, Senator Warner. You know better. But he's not doing anything. Instead, he's playing along with everybody, and he's playing along to get along. Hell, heaven forbid you be a leader. Heaven forbid you speak up and say no. I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, these guys
now,
are
not leaders. Yeah. Let me put a couple of things here, and then I'd like to bring you back before we close just to the military piece. But let me lay this out again, the article, what must happen to take our nation back. United, focused on real and tangible, well-organized strategies, millions of American patriots can and must take their nation back before they run out of time to do so. But divided, distracted, disorganized, and disoriented, they cannot. As I've been writing for years now, only the American patriots can take this nation back. No political messiah, no talk show host, no book author, no PAC, no individual or organization can do it. The individual patriots do it, together with other real patriots, working in well-planned, well-organized, well-funded, and very determined, tangible actions. I like articles of freedom. Profiteers, RNC power brokers, and the we don't need no leaders, unquote, anarchists must be bypassed, and individual patriots must take up the battle themselves. They must do it through real and tangible, peaceful, and constitutional processes before they have no good options left. So, you know, we're not looking for any one person. We used to do that. That's part of the Einstein strategy. Is we've got to take a completely different approach to undoing how we got here. So the diffuse movement is probably pretty good. Now, I want to bring this back because there's been this image that's really disturbing me a lot, and I know it hurt the people who had this happen to them, but you probably saw it. And then there's a related question in here, Helen, that brings back to our military. But I am furious about calling out the SWAT team on a bunch of, you know, old ladies having a tea party, and looking at the pictures of the ladies who are so distressed, law-abiding American citizens having a SWAT team stand there while they sit in their lawn chairs. I am furious about that. That kind of thing makes me want to go out and knock those guys over. And, yeah, of course, give them an excuse to kill me. But it seems like we cannot put up with that stuff. Those ladies need to have their own divorce. So with that, and then, Helen, you know, with regard to the military and, you know, Fitzpatrick, Commander Kirshner, Colonel Lakin, where are they? Where are they? And what do we need to do?
We need to do everything we can to support them. I think this is what I believe in my heart of hearts, and that is, when it comes to what has occurred over the course of the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, God knows, I keep going down the rabbit hole and it keeps getting longer and longer. But the one thing I'm coming to realize is this, and that is women, mothers, sisters, daughters, aunts, grandmothers, it's time to come out and support your sons, your grandsons, your nephews. And I don't care whether or not that will harm you in some manner. It is the right thing to do. And I was on Dame Truth's radio show the other night and was listening to Sergeant Harrington talk about how important it is for veteran moms to get out there and support the Pendleton 8. And not only them, but all the other soldiers that have been wrongfully accused and imprisoned. And so the women need to step up and say, enough, boys. You're not getting away with this shit anymore.
No, I know that. Let me just throw this other thing in here, too, just to broaden the ideas that I wanted to throw out here on this one. you know, I guess I must have been imagining maybe a demonstration around the Pentagon to say, what the heck are you doing? You know, deal with this usurper. He's, you know, destroying our economy, et cetera, et cetera. So I agree with you on the need to support these individuals, but you see what I'm asking as well. What's the bigger strategy with military?
You know what? You know what? Somebody sent me a link. I think his name was Milton, and he goes by Eagle. And he runs, oh, my goodness, forgive me. Oh, he runs, it was just in my head, and it just escaped. But anyways, he runs a board, and it'll come to me. Irate Nation is the board he runs. And one of the articles he sent me to think about was a, following the Civil War, apparently several of our soldiers were not being paid. So these men and their families marched to Washington, D.C., and they just stayed there until they got compensated. They never left. And, you know, marching is a fine thing to do, but camping out is a totally different thing. Years ago, when I lived in Washington, D.C., there was some bill, I don't know what it was, but it had everything to do with the farmers. And the farmers came in with their tractors and their trailers, and they slowed down traffic around D.C., and oh, my God, the news reports were horrible, and my father bitched and fussed and did everything he could coming home from the Health, Education, Welfare Department. And but what they did is these men stayed there until they got what they wanted. They didn't leave. They stayed. And then
well,
you know what they did when they left?
Yeah.
They plowed the entire monument, and they reseeded the grass, and they made sure it was blooming and green when they left. They took care of the land they were sitting and protesting on top of. And that was a beautiful thing to those of us that lived in Virginia, or Washington in the metro D.C. area. I was living in Maryland at the time. But it was a beautiful thing because they were respectful. They went to Washington to do what they had to do. They didn't go there for a day with placards. They went there to stay until they got results. And,
now,
you know,
I'll
so
see, Helen,
when this birth certificate thing, and that's all fine and good, but once again, it's just people going up there with placards going, ah, that. The hell with that. It's like one person said to me the other day, Helen, I'm tired of talking. I want to see doing. And so
doing is camping out
and just saying to your boss, sorry, dude, the nation's more important to me than you are. And
I've got what I need. That's what I wanted to get at, because if we're going to have probably 4 million people in D.C. in September, I want people to stay. I want to stay until there's an investigation, until these things begin to start happening. Because
I think we need to walk there. I think it needs to be a walk. I see myself walking from Richmond to Washington, D.C. I am not at all and joining other patriots as we walk up 95 or walk up Route 1, whatever it might be.
Would you like to walk to Wyoming and pick me up?
I might if I start now.
I mean, you still got leather on the bottom of those moccasins. Let's go.
Hey, I just got some new walking shoes, so I could probably do about a month or so. But I do want to say just one other thing. If I can go back to the very beginning, I mentioned JBJD. And the reason I mentioned JBJD is because she does all of her work for free. And she does have a PayPal account, and she does ask people. But she is doing a service. A tangible service, not just a service of I'm going to send 9 people to some, you know, event and pay their hotel expenses and their meal expenses for 9 days or 5 days or 4 days, whatever. So she does she provides a very tangible service. But get this, Dr. Kate, here is this woman who provides this tangible service. Yeah, she's a pain in the very ass. Yeah, she's all those things that we all say to JBJD. And, of course, she doesn't like any of it, so that's just tough. But here's this woman who's had a complaint, has had a full complaint on her website for a Texan to file in the state of Texas for what, 6 weeks now? Because they have standing. Texas has standing, and no one's touched it. What does that tell you and me? What that tells me is that, you know, whoever is, it's the same, it's that same mindset that whoever appears popular or whoever appears like they're hot on an issue, that's where people go. But the real person doing the work and who has truly put together a solid case that would absolutely support those individuals in Texas to file a lawsuit against Boyd Ritchie, they're not doing it because it's not sexy. They don't get any fanfare for it. That just
well, you know, this is very important for our listeners tonight because, and I know we're all a mature audience, but it is so critical right now not to be grabbed by the arm wavers or those who are just leveraging liberty for profit. And you can tell who they are by, number one, everything has to go through them. Number two, they are keen on dividing and bad-mouthing others. Number three, they really don't expect anything from you except money. And it's really critical because there's so many people out there right now who you would think who are on our side that are actually functioning to do that precisely as Helen was talking about. And for all of our listeners tonight as well, if you've been reading my blog, you know that many of us can see the whites of their eyes right now, and we want strategies. Like, for example, JBJD, when she was on the show a few weeks ago, talked about, you know, we have 2 million people in D.C. How about having 100,000 people outside of Boyd Ritchie's office protesting that piece? And what a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, if you pull that string down Texas, the whole thing is undone. There's impeachment right there. There's been more than that because impeachment's only for real presidents. But those are the sort of the side strategies that would work. And yes, look at where the money has gone. It's been on these big issues. You know, it's been on you know, the notoriety stuff. Personally, I'm kind of tapped out. I'm only doing one thing. But I wanted to tell you, you know, my profession is hydrology. I deal with water and, you know, all kinds of things, drilling wells. And, you know, I really love water as a field. And everyone says to me, oh, it must be so nice. It's so interesting being a hydrologist. And I have to tell you, it is very unglamorous. It is completely unglamorous and a lot of hard work. And sure, your product is nice, but getting there is completely unglamorous. So once people find out what kind of work is, the same with the thing. You don't get notoriety, you know, on the eligibility issue. But doing the hard work like somebody like JBJD has done, it's, you don't get any notoriety. It is not you know, a whole lot of fun. That was a lot of work she did. And so when I finish this, or basically what I wanted to say is that we now need to start taking more serious strategies. And if you've been reading my blog, you know that I put up a couple of posts on needing to have a private conversation, a secure workplace to start talking about these larger strategies. If you would like to join that discussion, and it's only for people who are serious and who can see the whites of their eyes, and Helen is in that discussion, and I'm grateful for that, drop me a line at drkatesview@gmail.com or go to my blog site, drkatesview.wordpress.com. Find the article called Stop Them Cold. Drop me a line in there and indicate if you're interested in coming. So Helen,
I'm coming. Wait a minute. Don't wait a minute. Dr. Kate, it's not coming. It's a phone call. It's a webinar. Because if somebody needs to, if somebody's hearing say coming, they're thinking, I've got to come to Wyoming.
No, okay, thank you. That's right. Thank you. It is this really fancy software. It's web at Cisco, and it's a webinar. So basically, it's completely secure. It's so you can see each other. We can work on work products, chat with each other and so forth, but it's a completely secure system. No one can listen in. It's not like Blog Talk Radio or any blog. And so it is for serious activists who want to do something that is really going to start making a difference here. And I'm not blaming or casting dispersion on anyone because, you know, we have to bring this regime down with the death of a thousand cuts. That's how we have to do it. So, I'm going to close the show pretty soon, about a couple minutes, but Helen, I wanted to give you the last word.
Oh, I just want to say thank you. This felt very good because it gets very lonely on my computer and spending my time there all day. So this was very good, and I thank you very much for presenting me with the opportunity to be able to speak my truth. That's it.
Yeah, Helen, thank you so much. I have so much respect for you and your site. And I'm sorry I have to close this up, but, you know, when you're in a rural place, you got to, like, leave when everyone else leaves. But everyone, I'd like to thank you all for coming. Helen, thank you again. I really would like to have you come back. All of a sudden, I see we have a question. Can you hang on for a question, Helen?
Sure.
All right. 615.
Yes.
Yes. Name, please, do you have a question?
This is Attorney Leo Haffey. I've been in communication with Helen by email. How are you, Helen?
I'm well, thank you, Leo. How are you?
I'm doing real well. I'd like to go back to something that you said earlier regarding this is a criminal matter. You are indeed correct about that. Regarding the action in federal court, there are two reasons why federal court is not the proper venue for any criminal action against Obama or his criminal co-conspirators. The first reason is in Rule 7 of the Criminal Procedure, Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, Note 4, and that is that presentments are not included as a type of formal accusation in federal court. So no federal court is going to accept a presentment from any patriot. Secondly, it's not a good venue for criminal action against Obama because all of the cases would end up in D.C. federal court, and they could not even get Marion Barry convicted with a videotape of him smoking and buying crack cocaine. So it's not an option to take a case into D.C. federal court against Obama. It's going to be an end in an acquittal.
Thank you very much for that info. Yeah.
But you know what? Everybody keeps pointing to the criminal court. The criminal court. And as you just said, it's an impossibility because Judge Lambert. Oh, come on!
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the way to go is to form grand juries, local grand juries in your county, and indict Obama and his co-conspirators in your county for the crimes committed by his campaign in 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010. That's the way to go. There you can, if you can find a district attorney in a red county, in a red state, you might be able to get a presentment through the court system. Otherwise, you have, by virtue of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Fifth Amendment, so forth and so on, you have an absolute right to form a grand jury without any approval by any court or district attorney. So the people have the power to do that. Form groups of 25 people, form a grand jury, and issue your indictments. Then take it to court. I wrote a brief a year and a half ago for various attorneys involved in this. If I mention their names, which I'm not going to do, you would know them all, that would get this case directly before the United States Supreme Court. After I wrote that brief and after I wrote articles on forming citizens grand juries, I was arrested 5 times in May of 2009. So what does that tell you? Nobody, none of these other lawyers were arrested, but I was arrested. What does that tell you? That tells me that that is something that they're very afraid of. I'm talking about the Obama camp. They're very afraid of any sort of grand jury action, any sort of action that's brought directly to the Supreme Court, because they have no defense against it.
So, Leo, are you saying that, because, I mean, I read your stuff. Are you saying that if individuals form a grand jury and they follow the steps necessary to make that grand jury legal, they can then, if that grand jury presents an indictment, they can bring it directly to the Supreme Court?
Yes. That's exactly what
I'm saying. So the Supreme Court is the body that would receive the presentment. Is that what you're saying?
It's very, you know, I'm a lawyer, and I'd like to let me simplify it. The case that is precedent for this is Marbury v. Madison. It's an 1803 case. And it establishes original jurisdiction in the Supreme Court. Now, it's very complicated. I can't get into, in this forum, I can't get into all the details about original jurisdiction in the Supreme Court. But to answer your question, yes, if a grand jury is formed correctly and the federal courts the state court will not accept it, they will not proceed with the prosecution, you can take it directly to the United States Supreme Court. Now, let me add that I wrote a brief for these attorneys that I mentioned that are very prominent in the eligibility movement, and I had my one article on one of them, one of their blogs, in February of 2009, and the day after it appeared on that blog, the blog was hacked, and I told you about my arrest and so forth and so on. Thereafter, I sent emails to Obama's attorneys challenging them. To this date, they have never come up with a defense to my argument. They have no defense. Yes, if you form a grand jury, you get an indictment, and the court system in your state does not proceed with that prosecution, then you have a right to take the case directly to the Supreme Court. And I've already written a brief to accomplish that.
I want to invite you to our Sunday webinar.
I'd love
Helen,
this.
Helen, if you could make that connection,
I will.
Be great. And we also have another caller on, so please, everyone stay
on. Wait a minute. Before Leo goes, can I just say one thing?
No,
Leo,
he's not going.
Okay, can I say one thing about
Leo? Go ahead, yes.
The charges that were brought against him, they've all been dropped. So Leo is a free man. So I just wanted to say that.
Free right now. But I was
forever, Leo. Think positive.
yes.
What's wrong with that?
I just unmuted.
Thank you.
I just unmuted a Skype caller. Do you have a question?
This is Terry Dodd.
Oh, hi, Terry.
I just want to say hello to Leo Happy. I've wanted to talk to him for so long. Leo, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and through marriage, I'm related to the what we call the Catholic Mafia in Nashville. And I've watched what's gone on with you, and I've written a lot of people over there on your behalf when you were incarcerated, and I'm just so thankful that they didn't kill you while you're in there. And
they tried to, Terry. They withheld my blood pressure medication for the entire time I was in jail, 60 days in jail.
Well, Leo,
wow.
I'm going to shut up and let Kate invite you to the webinar Sunday, because I'll be on that webinar, and I really look forward to being able to visit with you.
And I really appreciate what all the Patriots did for me. I really do. You saved my life.
And if I can add one other thing, Dr. Kate, Walt Fitzpatrick is going before the American grand jury that he did the citizen arrest in front of next month. And I would really love to do whatever we can to get Walt and or Tim Harrington next week, maybe, on your radio show to talk about and provide your listeners with exactly what has occurred there, what is happening there, and that all Patriots need to be there to support them. I'm going to be there. I'm going to tape record the whole thing. And I have no guns, just in case the FBI is listening in, because a couple of weeks ago when other individuals went, they have been arrested, their lives have been turned upside down. I mean, Darren Huff, the man, this is a man, if you'll indulge me just for one more minute, and I tell the coffee shop owners just to suck it up, and that is, Darren Huff, this man, went to support Walt Fitzpatrick, a man he never met in his lifetime, as an oath keeper out of Georgia. And this man, Darren, was the pastor, the minister, I guess, for the oath keepers. Gentle soul, but an oath keeper. He is an absolute, he's armed. He's got his food quantities stocked away. He's a survivalist at heart. And this poor man's life has been turned upside down within 6 weeks simply because the man went to support a comrade in arms who was doing the right thing and who was being a patriot down in Madisonville, Tennessee. It is the saddest story I've ever heard, and we have got to pack Walt's courtroom, and then we have got to pack his courtroom, Darren Huff's courtroom, because 6 days after he went, the FBI literally filed a warrant for his arrest for inciting a riot when there was no riot. It's insanity, and so they were. The United States government was thinking there was going to be a Waco there, and they wanted to do everything they could to agitate and so on. And so when Walt went before the judge, this was after the citizen arrest, when Walt went before the judge, several patriots went there to support Walt, and I was told there were 300 cops, snipers, FBI agents, all surrounding this compound, waiting for that riot to break out so they could splash it up on the news and say, look, these people did this, and we shot them down. Whatever.
Inciting.
It's sick. Riot. It's all propaganda. It's all wrong. It's just so wrong. And we've got our work cut out for us. So the webinar we've got to bring all this stuff up in the webinar. We've got to protect our men. These are honorable men. We've got to protect them.
Helen, if you would forward the webinar information to Leo, that would be terrific. I'm kind of getting some looks here, so I'm really am going to have to end
okay.
the show. But Helen, I want to thank you so much, Leo, Terry, all of our listeners, and everyone who's been in the chat room. It's been really a fascinating meeting tonight. Join the webinar on Sunday, drkatesview.wordpress.com or drkatesview@gmail.com. Drop me a line. It'll be a very interesting, practical discussion. It'll be confidential. When you register, you don't have to use your real name, just in case that, and no one's collecting any information. I really would like to close with a prayer this evening if Terry Dodd would be interested in helping.
I'll be glad to.
Thank you.
Almighty Father God, we just come before you humbly. We turn our hearts and our eyes and our thoughts and our ears to you and pray that we can calm ourselves enough to hear you and be directed by you. We know that this country has turned away from you and that we're suffering significantly because of that right now. I lift you up. I lift Leo Haffey up to you because you did answer prayers, and I know, Father, that your hand was involved in his release and his safety while he was being wrongfully held. I'm so thankful to be associated with people like Dr. Kate and Helen and all the others that are associated with us through especially Red Beckman and all those delegates at Continental Congress that might be listening tonight. Father God, I pray that this webinar on Sunday can be productive. But I really pray, Father, that you help us and you show us a path to take this country back, to put it back to the constitutional governance that you had us set up and gave us as a gift when you founded this country. And I'm just thankful that we can turn to you and that you're still there and that you still hear us and listen. Thank you for these listeners, and I ask that you bless all of them with your spirit, that you fill them and help them to see the truth. Help us all to maintain forgiving hearts, because we know that's where we find clarity in our thinking. Thank you so much for showing us the truth and teaching us that through your word. We pray in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
Dr. Kate. Okay.
Hi, Dr. Kate. Amen.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Son of a woman and man lived in strife. He was tired being poor. He was an empty cellar door to door. And he worked like the devil to be more. Different kind of poverty, how upsets the soul. Night after sleepless night, walk the floor and I want to know. Why am I so alone? Where is my woman? Can I bring her home? Have I driven you away? Is she gone? Morning comes the sunrise and I'm driven to my bed. I see that it is empty and there's devils in my head. I give him breaks, and then a color speaks. I grow weary of the torment, can there be no peace? And I catch myself just wishing that my life was sure to see.